Well, good evening and welcome to this latest episode of the Forever Bristol City podcast. It finished at Ashton Gate tonight. Bristol City 0, winless in 10, Millwall 2. It was bad on Saturday. We didn't think it could get any worse. It did. Joining me at the moment is Dave Fevs. Ian's away from his normal place of listening, and he's forgotten to take his headphones. So maybe a good idea that Ian's not going to contribute in the vocal sense tonight. And I think Mark is doing his media piece on another radio show, as he does. So we've got – I'm glad it's you here, Dave, because you can always give an objective view on things. Well, we always begin these pods by sort of just having a quick resume of the game. I mean, Dave, sum it up before we go into the detail in 90 seconds.
I guess I might be unpopular here, but I actually think it was better than the Saturday, but not a lot better. And ultimately, not good enough, really. We look like we're devoid of confidence out there, and you know, we can't string passes together, and teams look to be better footballing sides than what we do at the moment. And yeah, I think it's a bit of a worrying spell, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I said at half time, I said it was a bit better because Millwall weren't taking the game to us. They got that goal and what have you, but they weren't adventurous at all. The fact that they won by two goals to nil, you know, they'll be well pleased with that. I mean, this is Millwall's worst run for 14 years. They'd lost three out of their last four, hadn't had a win in 10, last win on the 28th of October. The starting lineup, Dave, there were changes made, and I thought, you know, Tengo coming in for O'Dowda, you know, changing to a back three. And it was Mariappa who played on the left, wasn't it? So that was him saying, I'm experienced, Taylor, you're not very good on the left. What was your thoughts on the lineup when you saw that just an hour before kickoff?
Well, I think in terms of personnel, knowing the injuries we got, players having played games, actually, it was 10 out of the 11 that I would have started with tonight. So I'm not going to go in hindsight and say, oh,
what God, was the other one? What was the change?
Believe it or not, it was 11. Fam to start alongside Wells instead of Martin. But I picked him. I didn't necessarily have Mariappa on the left. I thought Mariappa might play on the right. I thought Taylor Moore might play in the centre. And I thought Callas might be the captain's responsibility. Go on the left-hand side. But otherwise, I thought it was time to bring Masengo back in. Thought we needed his energy. And I guess, you know, we didn't know at the time when I was picking my side that front's out injured. So that really kind of just give us that, you know, there wasn't much choice out there if you're going to rest O'Dowda, if you're going to rest other people as well. So, yeah.
But Viner, it didn't work out. Viner and
Semenya. Yeah.
No, Mark. Mark. You've just come in. We won't. Well, I asked Dave to sum up the match in. Well, he did it a lot shorter than that, which is probably the best thing, really. Sum up the game in less than 30 seconds, and then give your thoughts on the starting lineup before we start talking about the action, what there was of it, and what the outcome of this game is going to be as well. I think
a big inquest, I think. That was the most pathetic, inept performance that I've seen for City for many a year. They looked scared in the first half, apart from one run from Rowe, and Millwall just had to simply sit in and wait for City to turn the ball over and then walk it back towards the goal to create chance after chance, with a particular threat from Jeb Wallace on the right. Gave two goals away and offered nothing going forward, capped off by pathetic challenges from Diju, who stupidly got himself sent off.
Yeah.
And that's it.
He got one birthday card that he didn't really want. In fact, a referee gave him two, so or three, because he got three. Two yellows in a row.
He dived in when the ball had already gone on the left flank for the first one.
He tried
a bicycle kick on the edge of their area when he had no right to win the ball, and got himself a second yellow. I mean, was that a straight red, Dave and David, or he got two yellows?
I think it could have been a straight red. I think that would have been harsh, and I think, you know, ultimately, it was stupid. he got booked. The kind of stupid thing about the first booking was the referee was late in giving the foul on our player, and of course Fams then committed to tackling. And yep. I thought if anything, it was probably a bit harsh to book him, bearing in mind that the ref was slow on the whistle. The free kick before they launch the ball into the box, where Fam ultimately gets sent off, their bloke kicks it 40 yards down the pitch after the whistle's gone. Fam has a little moan to the referee about it, saying, look, come on, you should have booked him for that. He's deliberately kicked it down the pitch. And I think the ref had his, you know, Fam's cards marked, but Fam didn't do himself any favours with that. You know, I don't buy that he didn't know the other guy was there. I think he's had a bit of red mist descended on him. And probably off the back of not being picked tonight, having scored last week.
In the last two games,
Yaya Toure hadn't bought him a birthday cake either. So, you know,
That reminds me of the Charlton game last year. And I'm sure he came on as sub in that game as well. The guy was down on the floor shielding the ball, so he took about six kicks at the ball and took lumps out of the player's legs. Josh Brownhill got a last minute goal after that.
I was halfway along the road at Caleb by Tinsfield. That was such a bad game. I mean, this is a good thing, really, because you imagine the crowd tonight would have been half decent. Well, would it after Saturday? I don't know. If it had been a normal match, right, the crowd would have been going ballistic, weren't they, with the lack of improvement again. And let's look at the first goal. I mean, actually, we're not doing highlights as such.
Stop typing. That's all.
Typing, Mark. Put your keyboard on mute. All right. No need to go banging away on your typewriter. I mean, the first goal came on 16 minutes. It actually started when Dan Bentley rolled the ball out to Callas, and as I've said, he isn't no Webster when it comes to taking the ball out of defence. Callas lost the ball. It got played out onto the right. And then, was it Wallace, Dave? The shot was blocked. And then it broke to Leonard, whose shot took a deflection off Bradshaw. Bradshaw claimed it. But did you see it, that Callas losing the ball as City came out? That's what contributed to the goal.
I can't remember what happened before, because Mariappa gave the free kick away, didn't he, on the edge of the box. And I thought
Bradshaw fouled by Mariappa. That's right. Of course it was.
I don't know if Mariappa was quite hard done by that, because I think the guy might have grabbed Mariappa's shirt and spun him, and Mariappa then can't get back at him. And I think that's what Mariappa was complaining about, whether he got a touch on the ball or not. I don't know. I'd have to see it again to see whether Mariappa was just got too tight and got rolled, or whether the guy had his shirt. It just looked a little bit suspect. I think ultimately he has brought the guy down to get a free kick. Wall does its job, comes out to the edge of the box, and shot comes in, and Bradshaw just gets a little deflection. It would have been pretty much straight down Bentley's throat otherwise, wouldn't it?
How you saw it as well, Mark? Is that how you saw it, the goal?
Well, everybody was drawn into the shot. I think it was by Wallace. Moore got a good block on the ball. Yeah. The Wall did its job, but we just didn't react quickly enough. I think Leonard hammered the ball in, and Bradshaw did a great job, because I think, you know, then Bentley's unsighted and he just hooks it round Bentley.
Sends it on his way.
For 1-0. Yeah, sends it on its way.
But he was a player we were interested in years ago when he was at Walsall, wasn't it? Yeah, if I go back.
Yeah,
He went to Barnsley, and he's had lots of injuries during his career. I think, remember when we played the JPT final, he wasn't fully fit then, and he'd been scoring a few goals. But
that's right.
I mean, just should we move on to the next action?
Well,
I'll say
the next piece of action. I'll come back to you, Dave, on this. I mean, Wallace was fouled by...
No, she's trying to sleep, so just shut up, please.
Oh, I don't know who that is talking.
Have we got sorry about that.
I don't know who that is talking in the background.
Sorry about that.
Trying to sleep. Wallace was fouled by Tommy Rowe, and this is where we had the Wells free kick, which was blocked on the line by the keeper. Dave, I've seen images on the forum or on Twitter where that went over the line, did it or not? How did you see it?
No, it didn't. And they showed a replay of the goal line technology later, and it's three quarters over the line, but unfortunately a quarter of it not. So it's not a goal. I think if you look at a video still of it, you know, because the ball's in the air, it looks like it's over the line, but it wasn't. So, you know, it's the right decision. I think Toby on commentary said we haven't got goal line championship. We haven't got goal line technology in the championship. So I tweeted him and said, yes, we have. So, and as was proved. So yeah, it's unfortunate.
We have got goal line technology in the championship. Yeah.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we do. He got that wrong. But I think the free kick was set up by a very good run from Rowe. One of the very rare forward forays we had. Masengo played him in. He went between two players and he drew the free kick. There was just nobody. Yeah. There was nobody prepared to do that in the first half at all.
I thought Wallace was lucky not to get a yellow card for that, to be honest. Because he should have got a yellow card. I think just before that as well, Wells almost got in from a free kick, didn't he? And their defenders made a great block. Otherwise,
he dropped behind him, and he couldn't get it out from under his. He couldn't get it out from under his feet, could he? But no. There we go. But then, I nearly call him Walsall then, but they do end in all. Millwall almost got a second on 28 minutes, and it was shoddy defending by City, wasn't it, Mark? The ball crossed in by Wallace, and there was Mason Bennett. He should have scored. He blasted it into row Z of the south stand.
Yeah, I think it was on his wrong foot, and again, you know, we get drawn into the left flank, and it's just over the top of the defence. I think Naj is trying to track him, and he's onto the ball too quickly, and he hits it over the bar. Really, he should have scored. Really, all he needed to do was stick his knee on it, and it was in the back of the net.
Yeah, I mean, Dave, that was sort of, you know, that wouldn't have been any more than. Millwall deserved to get a second goal. They weren't an attacking threat, but they just soaked up everything City had thrown at them, really, didn't they?
I think, you know, that's the championship against, you know, half-tidy sides, no matter where they are in the league. They're a good defensive side, generally. And you give them a sniff by letting them go 1-0 up away from home, and you're in for a tough old evening, aren't you? And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. So, half-time, Dave, a strong half-time team talk from Dean was required. I mean, what would you have been saying if you were the manager to individuals or the team? You know, what do you think was said? Because it can't have been a lot, because the second half, it started in just the same vein.
I think a lot of it is, you know, caring for the ball. And, you know, we knocked it around the back pretty okay. You know, sometimes, you know, we've made the usual error of going backwards a bit and, you know, or knocking the ball just behind someone and losing momentum. But I thought we looked quite comfortable. But I thought we had problems with Naj tonight, in that his first thought was to get up alongside the forwards. And in doing so, when Moore got the ball, especially when we had it on our kind of like inside right of our own half, he had no one to pass it to. Hunt was being picked up by their left-sided player. Mm. Martin had someone up his arse. I think Vineman was pretty good on commentary in terms of saying you can't knock a 40-yard straight ball into Martin when he's got someone up his arse, because, you know, what's he going to do? Get it and give it straight back again? And I think Naj took a bit of his space, actually, and also some of the space, because if Hunt could have dragged the left-back forward, then there's you know, runs in behind that you can do, and I don't think that helped us. We didn't show any way of breaking the lines. I said before the game, I thought it might be a bit like the Middlesbrough game, but I thought actually the Middlesbrough game, we actually did get in their half a little bit better than that, but it reminded me a bit of that, but a little bit worse.
Yeah, it's interesting you mention Andreas Vyman. I mean, he's a total contrast to the silver tongue René Gilmartin, but I've written down here Andreas Vyman. A career in the media does not beckon for him when he hangs his boots up, does it? Would you agree with that, Mark? He was quite eloquent, but, you know, oh God, was he boring? Would you agree?
And the quiet man. I think he matched our performance. I was thinking that basically the term to describe our performance tonight was paint watches us dry. We were that bad.
Yeah, I think the Sky commentator was giving us some pelters as well. Well, we made the substitutions on the hour. Mariappa and Naj going off, Pham and O'Dowda coming on. The right timing for the substitutes, I guess, Dave, but the right substitutes?
Yes and no, really. I could understand the logic behind it. get down on as left wing back, hopefully a bit of energy. Chris Martin probably actually in for the kind of quarter of an hour spell after that, playing in the kind of hole.
He dropped
in
back
between.
A bit, didn't he? Picked up a
couple of balls and didn't quite have the legs to get away from anyone or play an incisive pass. That was a little bit frustrating, to be honest.
Yeah, and then, Mark, the second goal, I won't say I had a degree of inevitability about it, but, you know, the ball broke to Mason Bennett and people stood off him, do you think? Or do you think we could have closed him down a little bit? Because it was a good... I mean, we made him able to do a good finish as he curled it into the net to make it 2-0, yeah?
Yeah, Masengo lost the ball near the halfway line and Bennett just followed it. I don't know if Bennett was the first player on the ball, but it, you know, it was a classic example of winning the ball, you know, halfway, and then following that up with midfield runners, and it was a great finish by Bennett because he curled it round a defender, and poor Dan Bentley had no chance whatsoever. But just going back to your previous point, when we did get in good positions,
we didn't really have a lot
But we just couldn't trap the ball. The ball was bouncing off players, even the likes of Martin today, he's usually pretty good. And we had to take off another defender because with Millwall sitting back, we didn't need that third defender because they weren't marking anybody. And it really was our play tonight was just play it across the back, and all Millwall had to do was wait for us to lose the ball. When we tried to play that, we forced that ball into the middle and we would lose it and it would come straight back rather than try and play it down the wings. We got a little bit of momentum when O'Dowda came on, Masengo and Backinson would try and help O'Dowda on the left a little, and we got some crosses in, but I mean, Gigi weren't getting on the end of them. Martin was nowhere near. Wells worked his socks off, but couldn't get anywhere near it. But
that one shot
we had on target. What were the other two? Because I can't remember them. Apparently, we had three shots on goal, according to the BBC.
Yeah,
I've got a free kick and a shot at the end. So
there we go. That's it. Naki Wells. I've got 76 minutes. He put in a cross from about 30 yards out, and on the end of it, he should have been on the end of it. I mean, at least he was going around looking for the ball. And did you think, Dave, that Callas? I know, we took a defender off. Semenyo came on, but he took a bit of a nasty knock in the first half, didn't he? Yes, was it a facial injury? Yeah, do you think that was an injury when he came off, or no?
He looked like he got a dead leg or something like that. There was a run down their left wing channel quite late on, and you could see him really labouring. So I think he's got a bit of a dead leg. That was what Vyman was suggesting, I think.
Yeah. I like the way Andreas was saying, and again, it's like we still got a chance, we still got a chance. We didn't have a dog's chance tonight, and then we certainly didn't on the 78th minute. I missed the first booking. I mean, Dave, a harsh... second yellow for Pham?
No, stupid. God, you know, it's just...
Yeah.
Just a stupid thing to do. You know, there's no excuse for it. You know, even if he makes contact with the ball, there's two guys around him. If he only sees one of them, he's still doing something dangerously. And I'd say, I think he'd wound the referee up. He wasn't ever going to get any leeway from him. Thought the ref was poor tonight. Not for that decision, but lots of other little things that I thought he missed.
Yeah, it's a good point. I would agree with you there, because most of the referees, I think, have been half decent. But tonight, yeah, he was a bit... He looked a bit like a Keith Stroud type, you know, just a little bit petty and not in our favour. He didn't give us anything. And as you say, there was a couple of things that he could have given to us, but he didn't. And then Millwall almost made it three, which would have, I won't say it would have flattered them. We were just so bad. Dan Bentley, Mark, he did a good save from Wallace, didn't he?
Yeah. Wallace burst forward. I think he burst past Jack Hunt again, where he lost the ball. And what, you know, Bentley's done this a lot. He comes off his line, Schmeichel like, makes himself really big, very difficult to beat, and he stands up. So he blocks another good shot there, and we could have lost that game heavily. But it's just tonight and against Rotherham on Saturday, David, you think it was the opposite. They'd gone seven games without a win, Millwall had gone 10, and you think City looked the struggling side. We've gone from being in the top six against Blackburn. Okay, the performance weren't great, but the play was better. To those two abysmal awful performances. Absolutely abject
performances, you know. Okay, let's not do so much marks, because I think anybody would be struggling to get above a four, maybe. I don't know if anybody deserves above a four. No, that's a bit harsh. Just look at individual performances for a change without giving marks. I mean, Dave, Dan Bentley, you couldn't fault him for either of the goal. And if I suppose if you were going to give him, well, he did okay, Bentley, today, didn't he? Yeah, his punching was pretty strong. He didn't make any ricks at all there. And I guess you'd agree with that as well, Mark, wouldn't you? Yeah, about Bents.
Yeah, I mean, the defenders who kept giving the ball away. And midfielders. He made a couple of good punches today as well from corners, and he looked very strong. But he wasn't getting any cover in front of him. So I think he comes out of this well, and Naki Wells, who just fed on scraps all night, really.
I mean, Dave, the way the central players lined up, it allowed Moore to play on his more accustomed right, and fair play for Mariappa, experienced blow. Pro playing out of position, because Callas isn't any good on the left hand side. I mean, Taylor Moore, he's not the player he seemed he was 3 months ago, is he? You know, is his confidence gone? Do you think that's what part of the problem is?
Yeah, I think so. I think a little bit of concentration as well in terms of, you know, just a little bit sloppy of our passes at times, aren't we? You know, around the back, you know, as you know, Ian's favourite of knocking the ball a couple of yards behind them or knocking a really like heavy pass into someone, you know.
Yeah.
And I know this is going to sound a silly excuse, but the last couple of home games, I'd call our pitch a lively pitch. That, you know, it might look okay, but I don't reckon there's much grass on there. And that ball pings around, and I don't think it suits us. And I go back quite a number of years to Liverpool, my other.
It's almost playing like an artificial turf.
Yeah,
isn't it? It's almost like an artificial turf.
It is, and it's not, you know, I'm not sure, you know, I think it would benefit us. It might benefit the opposition as well. But I don't think we keep control of the ball well enough. And that's a crap excuse, because they're professional footballers and their technique should be good. But when you put people under pressure, especially when their confidence is down, that little bad touch, you know, you lose the ball, and it makes it look even worse.
I mean, maybe Dean should get out. And maybe what you're saying, Dave, is that we need the grass. Maybe, you know, instead of it being a number one cut, it needs to be a number one and a half or a number two, just to take a bit of pace off the ball. Yeah,
I agree. It does sound stupid, but I'm surprised they do keep it that short. Bearing in mind they're playing rugby on it as well. You'd think, if anything, a pitch that's got dual purpose, you'd keep a bit more grass on it to keep it together. And I don't think it helps us. It's not an excuse for tonight's performance or anything like that. It's just, I don't think it helps either.
No. Mark, Go on, say what you're going to say about the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, professional players, they should be able to trap the ball. They should be able to pass the ball. But I think with City, in the last two performances, mentally, they've just been really, really weak. When teams have put a little bit of pressure on them, and Rotherham pressed us really hard on Saturday, I wouldn't say Millwall did that.
It looked like we were
climbing a mountain all game.
Yeah.
We just didn't have any ideas whatsoever.
It was played at
whatsoever.
A practice match pace most of the time. I mean, Mark, let me ask you, two wing-backs, right? You play with three central defenders. You expect your wing-backs to get forward and offer something. Now, Hunt can, but didn't. Rowe, you know, he did okay, but they're not wing-backs in the sense that the textbook wing-back performance should be, are they? And Hunt can
I just don't think the midfielders brought them into the game. I mean, that was the problem. Had the ability to play them in.
Yeah.
I mean, Rowe made that one good run in the first half, and before the goal, I thought Hunt was starting to apply pressure down the right, and then any semblance of any pressure just went out of the window. It carried on for the rest of the game. All Millwall had to do was keep their shape.
just move from side to side. Let us have the ball. Yeah. I think we had over 70% possession and watch us lose it. That's all they had to do. Not like Rotherham, who just throttled us with a press. They just had to simply wait for us to give the ball up. And Taylor Moore was one of those players. You saw him bomb forward a couple of times and then he'd make a very poor pass to a player who had somebody off his backside and it would just come straight back. Why not play the ball behind the fullback, play it into space where you've got to turn the defender around?
Well, we seem to have an inability to do anything like that. And Dave, you quite rightly picked me up there on the text, my comment about play like a practice match, but one team was closing down the gaps and that was Millwall. Let's talk about the midfield, Dave. I mean, I wrote down on the Twitter at halftime, I said, has Backinson got a twin brother? And if he has, is he not a very good footballer? Because it looked like he was playing tonight. He's come back after his COVID, invisible. Yeah, a couple of times broke with the ball and lost it. Naj, maybe a game too far for him. Not the performances we've come to expect. And Masengo, some useful touches, but we seem to have coached out of him or done something that, you know, I thought the midfield looked good on paper, but it just didn't do it tonight, did it?
I thought Masengo did okay out there today. I wouldn't say he was brilliant, but I thought, you know, bear in mind, he's not been in the team virtually all season to come back in. And unfortunately, he had two ineffective midfielders alongside him today. And I thought he put a shift in. I thought he tried his best out there, but there wasn't a lot on for him. You know, I thought he was the one trying to play it forward when he had a bit of time in the second half. But the other two were pretty non-existent out there. Were not the performances we've seen from them of late. You know, is it fatigue? Is it attitude? I don't know. I don't think Millwall have played any less games than us this season.
No. Well, let's come back to what you said there in a moment, Dave. Attitude, right? Because this is the key thing, attitude. Mark, on just to finish with the players, I don't want to talk about subs because, you know, they didn't affect the game. But Martin and Wells up front. I mean, Martin's looking a bit leaden-footed at the moment, although he did play better when he dropped back in the hole a bit. Naki Wells, you know, you feed him and he will score. But, you know, they're just getting no service up there, are they? And Millwall pretty much absorbed everything they threw at them, didn't they?
Yeah, you could have played anybody up there and it really wouldn't have made any difference. I mean, I think the problem was, and Vyman, although, you know, it's like listening to somebody with mogadons, he was right in the first half, you know, one or two touch football. None of those Millwall players got moved around. At least Masengo was trying to look for the ball and do things, but Backinson and Naz weren't. If you look at the Naz performance against Blackburn and QPR, where he was a box-to-box player, making interceptions in our area, off the toes of players, and he did that against Blackburn as well. There was just nothing there. Nothing that could move those Millwall defenders. So that, no wonder, Wells was feeding off scraps because he certainly wasn't getting the ball tonight. It was just awful. It's close.
No, nothing there at all. And the free kick, I say that was the closest he came. Dave, you mentioned attitude a moment ago, And, you know, what is, you know, you send players out there on paper, if you looked at our lineup, on paper, and I know we've got the injuries, and we're going to come on to those in a minute, but on paper, would we have put any of the Millwall players in our lineup ahead of, ahead of that lineup that we had? You know, would you sort of say, well, I'd have that one, and they'd improve our side? Or on paper, would you say they're evenly balanced? And maybe, you know, with a so-called strike force of Martin and Wells and what have you, that we maybe had an edge on paper? Because then if you agree with that, then what's going wrong with the attitude?
Yeah, I think there's three players that jump out for me in the Millwall side who would get into our side. And that's Ian's already mentioned one of them. That's Jed Wallace.
Yeah.
Second one is Jake Cooper, who's probably one of the better centre-backs in this division. And the third one is Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Oh, the kiddie.
I've always liked him, and I think in our system, if we were going to play 3-5-2, he'd be someone I'd be looking to get a right wing back.
So he's playing an attacking wing back, doing more of what Hunt should be doing, is what you're
saying. Yeah. Although Hunt, you know, Hunt's been fairly decent this season. You know, he's had a little drop off of late, probably because he's not been able to share his minutes with Steven Sessegnon, which was, you know, part of the plan. That hasn't helped him. He's just gone off the boil over the past kind of month, I guess. But yeah, those three, if you put those at our side, you'd think we'd look.
It would make a difference.
Yeah.
So do you think we have a pattern? Do you think, you know, somebody's put on here, Badger's put on the OTIB, I'm reading it. It says, for God's sake, get some perspective. Have you seen our injury list? For fear of repeating it, I'm going to anyway. Mawson, Pato, Baker, Williams, De Silva, Walsh, Vyman, Sessegnon. Am I missing anybody? Probably is there. Seriously, that's 7 first team players out injured. Yes, it's not great, but the world's not effing great at the moment. Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Wednesday. Give Oldham a chance when the world isn't upside down. Why is it always such a drama with our support? Mark, on the forum, it has gone into meltdown, as you'd expect. I think you suggested, surprise, you suggested on Saturday something that we said no, about 3 weeks ago. Do we give Dean Holden the benefit of the doubt and a free hit this season? Because, you know, our meltdown looks as though it started, early. Yeah, it's come before Christmas. But, you know, the injuries are there and they're not any old injury. But, you know, do we give him a free hit?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like this word free hit. Is such. I think the injuries might give him the excuse, but they've got enough quality players. You know, some like Masengo coming in, who was fresh. All right, he hasn't started a game since the first game of the season. Should be good enough to beat a team that hasn't won for 10 games. It's got enough quality players in there to put a performance in and show the mental ability and the courage to be able to win the game. So, you know, if we were playing a top six side, a Brentford or a Norwich, Bournemouth, somebody like that, I could have said, yeah, we can write this game off, but not when you're playing Millwall. I mean, there are film fans on the forum giving that up, and I'm thinking, we can win this game if we apply ourselves. We simply didn't do that. That's it. But I worry about the next few games now because we're playing Wickham next. Yeah. You know, they only lose games narrowly.
No, we're not. We're playing Preston.
Preston. Well, we got the odd point up there. The only thing we got in our favour is that we're away from home. We play better as a counter-attacking team. They're not very, very good at home, but we need somebody creative in midfield and we need the pit players to pull their fingers out. I mean, that's just simply not acceptable.
But when you say pull their fingers out, that gets back to attitude, doesn't it? And I mean, you know, I think somebody said on here, the 11 players, this is Sludge on the OTIB, the 11 players we had on the pitch tonight should have been good enough to muster up at least one corner between them. You know, and John Dolman, he's a regular poster on OTIB, he said, problem is you have so much quality injured, like you say, but it also means the current lot are absolutely knackered. I'm not seeing a lack of effort at all. I think Wells might be the only one who's played a lot who still looks fit. Dave, is there an underlying fitness problem, right, that we will never know about? But, you know, the indications are with Brunt getting injured now and pools here, there and everywhere, is there an underlying fitness problem that needs to be looked at?
Oh, good question. It's a difficult one to answer because, unfortunately, we seem to have been hit by medium to long-term injuries. We haven't had many, he's just got a little strain for a couple of weeks or a couple of games and he's out. You know, people were saying the other week, Norwich have had injuries. They're still up there. Yeah, Norwich got a much bigger squad of first-team and, you know, quality players than us. But their injuries lasted 2 games. You know, we've got 6, 7, 8, 9 who've been out the vast majority of the season.
4 months, yeah.
I don't know whether there's an underlying reason. You know, I've heard lots of rumours, you know, and people said, it's been like it for years, there's a big problem. Well, they've changed the physios and the sports scientists enough. You know, I've also heard things like the Dezo pitch that they use could be a contributory factor, but then you get injuries in training as well. So I don't know. I think I was just going to, just before I kind of talked about injuries, I was going to talk about, I said attitude, didn't I? And I guess some of that's almost, you know, confidence or bravery to go and get the ball, or you know, bravery to just go and bloody kick someone. You know, Masengo had a wild lash out tonight. Who else?
Yeah. He did that right in the centre circle, didn't he? Yeah.
Who else laid a finger on their players? How many times did they kick us today?
Well, apart from Zizou.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Hunt got taken quite early in the game and got up. I think it was. Yeah. It might have been Romeo caught him right on top of his. It was kind of first 5 minutes, and I'm thinking, I bet you'd only been rolling around in agony if that had happened, you know. And I don't know. We're a bit soft, aren't we? And you know,
we're usually top of the Fair Play League, and I think, yeah, we don't know what factor fitness is played. We know after the Rotherham game that we have to rotate the side, but we haven't got the ability to do that, you know, greatly, unless we bring in a lot of the youngsters, and we had five academy players on the bench tonight. It's just not possible. So I think it has had a bearing. But like I said, we were good enough to be in the top six with all those injuries. So we should have been able to get 4 points out of those last two games, I think, you know, with by showing some mental courage, by, you know, by taking the game to the opposition a little bit and not being cowed by a physical approach, or the fact that, you know, Millwall just sat in those positions and forced the mistakes out of us. It's not like they dominated the game in possession football, because they only had 30%. It just shows that City were mistake ridden. And when there's a little bit of pressure on, we really will. And that's the worrying thing. That needs to be looking at. Can they get the sports psychologist, Dave, to look at them in the next few days? Do they do that?
I don't know, Dave.
You know, they've got one, so you know.
Yeah.
What's he doing? needs to
don't
change
his mindset. He's self-isolating, I think.
Yeah, you know, they've got all these things for fine margins, haven't they? You know.
Yeah. We won a game by fine margins as well, haven't we? So.
Yeah, the guy needs to perhaps do something to change the mindset out there.
Do you think there's a case? I mean, look, Preston on a cold Friday night in December, that ain't going to be easy. And based on the last two matches, you'd say that was a banker home win. Yeah. Now, if we go and get Summit up there, then there's character in the side. I mean, Preston were rubbish at home at the start of the season. I think they probably lost 8 in a row or something like that, including cup games. They were really, really in a bad place. But, you know, is it worthwhile? When do you blood some of these youngsters and just say to hell with it? Which comes back into the sort of discussion of, you know, like saying this season it's like no other. Look, we're not going to make it. You know, these injured players are going to come back and it's too late. Well, is it too late? And yeah, because we've got 30 points on the board, I guess if they do come back in end of Jan and make a difference, we could still make a late run for it. I mean, do you think, Dave, that, you know, that anybody who's sharpening a knife for Holden now is being particularly harsh, you know, because he's had that bad luck with injuries. And there's a big thread on OTIB tonight, which has got about 70 odd replies less than an hour after the game. Yeah. You know, when does any scrutiny come down on Holden, or are we back in this, look, you've had bad luck with injuries, nothing's normal, let's write this season off?
Don't get me wrong, I think he's under pressure. But it depends on how much you take things like injuries into account. You know, we're eighth, we're probably just looking at the table. We might end up going down to ninth or tenth, who can go above us?
By tomorrow, yeah.
Middlesbrough are playing tomorrow night, they could go above us. So we could be ninth, you know. It ain't the end of the world. It's a bit disappointing after the reasonable start we made to the season. But I think, you know, I think Dean's right in some respect. We're hanging in there. I haven't heard his interview tonight. A few people are saying it was pretty bad. But
he said we played better than Saturday, which is what you and I said.
I think we did, you know. but you know, that's a you know, a game of opinions, isn't it, really? And you could look, if you look at it on chances we've created, we created one more on Saturday at Rotherham, but I thought we were bloody awful on Rotherham. On Saturday, we couldn't pass the ball. Tonight, we passed, we tried. We ultimately let ourselves down when we tried to get into their final third, you know, and I don't think we showed enough fight in both games. And, you know, that might be down to fitness, you know, just being able to go that extra half a yard. I don't know. It's not very great, not very good though.
No, but again, you mentioned fitness and, you know, six of the teams that played on Wednesday last week, on Saturday, they won. You know, we've put in another shabby performance where at no time in the game, maybe for about 5 minutes after the two subs on the hour, yeah, is... If you're Mark Ashton, yeah, and let's say you go to Preston and you lose, you lost three.
It's always Preston, isn't it, that puts the pressure.
It is always Preston.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and he's been strangely quiet. And again, looking on the on OTIB tonight, you know, everybody, the minority is saying, Ashton, get out of our club and all the rest of it. I mean, he's going to keep a low profile. And then we've got two games over Christmas that we should get something, isn't it? Which is Wickham at home and Luton away. But let's say this run gets into a Lee Johnson type run of five defeats in a row. Yeah. So we've got two now. Yeah. Probably make it three on the Saturday. Yeah. What does Mr. Lansdowne start thinking? You know, when are questions asked? Because, we've said, yeah, go on.
I think we're going a bit overboard at the moment. I know there's pressure, and I think that's come from the fact that Bristol City oversold and underdelivered with the appointment of Holden. But look at how fine the margins are. We went five games without a win. Yeah. We were 13 minutes from defeat against Huddersfield, and frankly, we played awful. And we applied some pressure. We showed the courage to go forward, and we nicked the game. Then we won the next two games. The performances weren't great, and they haven't been great. But we're still in eighth position. I'm not saying to say we're going to get in the top six, but let's not write off the season on the back of two defeats, because it is only two defeats. As poor as they've been, it's just two defeats. It isn't the end of the world. I think it's the poor performance that is really grating, and the fact that all this season is on the back of Bristol City overselling and under-delivering. It's been the same in the performances, but we have got results. We're still in eighth position, perhaps ninth tomorrow night, and I think we need some creativity. We need Jamie Patterson back, or somebody in the middle who's going to pull defenders around. Somebody who's going to make, you know, those strong aggressive runs like Vyman. There's got to be somebody who can do that, and results could pick up. We could win against Preston on Friday. At least if we go out and put in a decent performance, I'd rather see that and see us getting beat rather than drag.
Of course, we all want them to win. But, I mean, you know, it's just as well, you know, would the home fans have made things better or worse had they been in there? Because, look, we've had six shots on target in the last three games, right? And the four goals at home in the last seven matches at Ashton Gate. I mean, this open expansive football that Dean Holden said he was going to bring. Okay, he's had injuries, right? But you, I think you said earlier, Dave, you can't keep making injuries as an excuse. You know, there's something fundamentally wrong, isn't there? That our form is that, because it's a style of football. Yeah, is it, even we've said this before. Even the games that we've won, we haven't looked fluent for, you know, other than in fits and starts, have we?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, I'm just kind of thinking back to, you know, passages of play tonight, and I guess we've fallen into that kind of mixed thinking about how we want to play. So we've knocked the ball across the back four or back five, as it was tonight, a couple of times, and we've created, I don't know, a second where, you know, there's a chance to play a ball forward, and sometimes that's into midfield, and it's typically tonight it, you know, it was knocked into a player and it got knocked back to the centre-back. And that's okay, because, you know, normally you would have people then rotated around off that. And I thought tonight the midfield might play a bit more fluid than it did, and it didn't. It pretty much stuck Nagy on the right, Backinson in the middle, and Masengo on the left. Mm. And Nagy broke forward from there. But he didn't break forward from there with in his usual triangles.
No.
And that was what really annoyed me first half, was that when Moore came in, if he drops in short and gives a different angle, then he might not get it, but he opens up a passing lane to knock a 30-yard ball into Martin, because he now knows he's got space, he's moving towards the ball and he can get it under. And I think we had a little 5-10 minute spell, I think just before they scored, where that's exactly what we did. And we got Hunt in a couple of times, you know, in the final third. And I think a cross went deep. We got Rowe forward, as Mark mentioned. And we did a few things, but we didn't do that enough. And then what you then decide is, right, okay, we can't get past the press. So what's the plan then? The plan can't be, well, we'll just keep doing what we're doing and we'll recycle possession and we'll go nowhere. You have to do something different to make Millwall change what they're doing. And I think what you do then, as crude as it might be, is you go a little bit long. But you go long as part of a plan, and that plan is effectively what Rotherham did to us on Saturday. And that's your midfield know your defenders are going to go long. So they're not pissing around looking for a 5-10 yard ball off of Callas or Moore or Mariappa. They've driven their central midfielder back with them, or they've gone past them, because they're going to put
it into the space to run into. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's either, I think,
misheaded, then they're the ones who've got the yard or two on their marker, because their marker's thinking, well, they're not going to run past me here because they're not going long. They're always looking short, and you change it. And that's not what I've seen at all. And that's really, really, really disappointing in the last two games, is that it's almost been devoid of a second plan. And I will say, over the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 games, it's looked a bit like an LJ side of last year. Now, I don't like saying that, but I'm not going to sit here blindly and say it looks devoid of being able to do something different when we've got something different that effectively then your opposition start having to think differently. So they knew that we'd pass it in front of them. So it's a bit like when we played Derby. We'll pass it in front of them. Sorry, I'm waffling on a bit here.
No, not at all.
But then as a defence, you think, well, we'll just keep our shape. If they have a bad touch or they knock a ball behind it, we'll squeeze up another 10 yards and you press them back and you press and you frustrate. But if you suddenly think, oh God, they've gone long, and suddenly Masengo or Backinson's run 10 yards past my shoulder, all of a sudden you think, do I mark him tight when he gets it in feet next time? And it's all those little cause and effects. You know, it's almost like a big rubber band on players, that you can stretch it so far and you'll drag someone with you. But sometimes
that's a good point. You have to do something different to them.
It's risk. One way of putting it, Dave, it's risk averse, because, like you said, it's that mental pressure of worrying that your right-sided defender gets the ball and you know he's running past the right wing back, or he might do it. You know, I'm worried that he's going to do that. So what do I do? What, as a defender, I've got to think. City just didn't make those defenders think. And the other thing that you want is someone like Naz to get hold of the ball and do a give and go. He never got in close enough to the forwards to be able to play it off them, or make some semblance of trying to make the defenders work, play it over the top or play it between defenders. We just never got that close to do that whatsoever. Yeah.
I played all my.
Let's look at the lineup. Potential lineup. Potential lineup.
Sorry, Dave. Let me just. I'd say when I played, I was.
Carry on. Finish.
I was a centre half predominantly. I'd win the ball in the air, mark my man. That was my job. I occasionally played in the centre of midfield, and as being a centre half, I loved playing the way I was facing. You know, that was all I did. I was looking down the pitch all the time. The last thing I wanted to do when I played in centre midfield was have a guy run off the other side of me. I never wanted to be facing my own goal. And that's what we didn't do to them today. We never made it difficult for them at all.
No.
They just kept their shape. They pushed us back, waiting for a bad touch, and they got us.
Do you remember the Middlesbrough game? I remember it's something you picked up on in that game, Dave. It was in the first half. It was so easy for Middlesbrough. They sat in their shape. In the first half, we did this one time where Foyner made a run from right centre-back up the pitch. And you can do that because you've got a spare player, because he's not marking anybody. You know, somebody's got to pick that player up. He can make that run past the wing back and try and get a return ball. But the defender's got to do something. If you've got, like you said, you've got somebody running past him ready to receive the ball, and the defence know that there's still four defenders able to get the ball if it comes back.
And that Middlesbrough game that you're talking about there, Mark, that Middlesbrough game, you're talking about that one up there, tail end of
the first half,
last season.
Was
is that right? Yeah,
because
if you took that game as an individual game, if you took that Middlesbrough this season's one. I mean, I think the best game we played under Hot, because even when we beat Forest, we could have been a couple of goals down before we got ours. But that Middlesbrough game up there last season when we won 3-1, and that's when you said, I think Vyman broke from the edge of the box. We had a great goal. It was five moves from one end of the pitch right down to the other. And you looked at that and you thought, actually, that's how I want to see football played, like that, because it was expansive, it was exciting. And I think somebody put on the website, or I was chatting to somebody today, we were talking about the football under Danny Wilson. Now, okay, it was League One and what have you, but he played an entertaining sort of football. Let's talk about Preston very, very briefly. You know, in terms of the team lineup, Bentley in goal goes without saying. I mean, Dave, let's look at some of these youngsters, and I'll start by saying, Towler? Is it Nigel Towler?
Yeah.
Is it
Riley?
Riley Towler. Yeah. You know, Riley, maybe give Riley Towler, Taylor Moore. He looks uncertain. If Riley Towler's good enough to be on the bench, right? Why not try Riley Towler in place of Taylor Moore and keep? And maybe Mariappa at right back, Callas move across, and then what's his name can come in, Viner can come in. Yeah, so you have, you know, you could almost play, Riley Towler coming in as a left of a three. Could he play at left back or not really?
According to Ian, he can, even though he's
he
never
can
played
or he can't. He can. All right. Well, would you give Opie Edwards a call? And here's an interesting one. He named on the pitch, on the bench tonight, Zach Smith. Now, you know more about the under-23s, Dave, than Mark and I know put together. But Zach Smith,
I know he's a midfielder. He's a 20-year-old midfielder.
He's a midfielder. He's quite slightly built, though, Dave, isn't he? Yes?
I honestly don't know enough about him. Ian's biting.
I thought Masengo was indifferent tonight. Masengo's only 19. If one of our own, Zach Smith, is only 19, right, he cannot be any less effective than Masengo was. And you talked about people.
I thought Masengo was all right tonight.
He was okay. All right. Maybe I'm being harsh.
He got let down by Backinson and Nage in there tonight, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He was the only one who'd get put in a shift in there tonight.
Well, if you look at the Backinson and Nage of last Wednesday, they look like two strangers, don't they? They're just completely devoid of any ability. But yeah, I think you can give Masengo the benefit of the doubt, because he hasn't played a full game this season, and he hasn't made a start since the first game of the season. So it could knock him backwards if you don't play him. But remember, are we going to face Alan Brown and Daniel Johnson on Friday? Because they're very combative in midfield. I know Pearson, I think, is out for a long time with an injury at the moment.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
But I mean, what sort of changes do you think will be made then on Friday, Dave? You know, because I was trying to make a case for the youngsters, because I could have said try Opie Edwards from the start, maybe. You know, if you want a different option up front, give Chris Martin a rest. Try Mickey Bell's kiddie up there, you know, a bit of energy and what have you. Maybe give Naki a rest because he's played a lot of minutes. Try Bell and Semenyo. You know, what? You know, when do we give the youngsters a proper chance? Yeah,
it's a difficult one, Dave, isn't it? You know, and centre back is a, if we talk about Taylor, is a difficult position to come in and not find yourself out of your depth pretty quickly. And I think we talked a little bit about him on Saturday. I've seen him play two and a bit games of under-23 football. There are people much more qualified to have an opinion on him than that. One of those games he played in midfield, because it was last season, and the other two games. He looks nice on the ball. I've watched him a little bit on some of the training video clips as well, and not seen anything that gives me a lot of confidence defensively. But, you know, I'm really talking out of turn because I've not really seen him play. I think it'd be a big old game to go and make your debut away at Preston. But sometimes it's sink or swim. And I think, you know, last season, when or when we first started doing these podcasts, and you know, we talked about having, you know, a squad of senior pros up to, say, I don't know, 21, 22 players, and then the rest of them are your youngsters. I didn't envisage those youngsters being Opie Edwards,
no,
Riley Taylor. I thought they'd be your James Mortons, your, you know, even like people like Joe Morrell, but you know, or whoever's kind of following those types of people.
Into-
we've had a yeah back is that yeah, yeah exactly. Whereas we're all, you know, we're going into a group of under 23 footballers who some of them have only just come out of the under 18s, and I think we have to be very careful not to not to rush them here. I think, you know, we Sam Bell, I guess, you know, Pham's going to be suspended, so he's going to have a really good chance of getting off the bench if he doesn't start him on Friday. I wouldn't expect him to start him, but you know, he's going to get some more minutes and we'll see a little bit more of him. I guess slight disappointing is perhaps someone like Louis Britton's gone out on loan, because he's a
big lad.
He's, well, I don't know if any people on the podcast ever played with or against his dad, Jeff Britton, but he was a bloody handful. And he looks a chip off the old block. And and I'm not saying he's ready for championship football, but at this stage of what's going on, he'd probably be on the bench and he'd probably be ahead of Sam Bell purely for that, because he'd go and knock a few people about. And it'd be great to see. But, you know, and I think we've perhaps gone a bit too quickly into those young players, because we've taken the decision early on the season to loan some players out. And therefore, we've picked up a shitload of injuries. Yeah. It's a tough one. You know, fair play if Holden gives him a go on Friday night. And I certainly, you know, if he gets found out, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say, told you so, or criticise him, because I think at some time you've got to play them. And sometimes they come in and they take to it like a duck to water. And
well, that's the thing. That's a very good point. They take to it like a duck to water. They adapt. And Cookie on a text message he's just said here, he said, Fevs, these under 18s can't and won't do any worse than the current players with the shirt right now. Now, would they? You know, what, you know, are these youngsters, that's under 18s is a bit young, but let's say a kid of 18 or 19, there's kids playing in the Premiership this age, right? Are we saying our youngsters are so weak-minded, but given the chance, thrown into the limelight, yeah, which is what it would be, won't rise to it?
It's possible. Can I say something? I think it's possible that they might perform better than the fact that there's going to be no pressure from the crowd on their back, and that they will be able to hear, they'd be able to get instructions from the side, because you can hear everything going on. Mostly Effin and Jeffin during the game is quite comical. But I think the likes of Backinson and Semenyo really benefited from the fact there hasn't been any crowds, because they've been able to settle into games a lot more quickly. So you know, I think that's helped them, and I think it might help the likes of
Can
you hear me?
What's your train of thought? Yeah, I can still hear you, mate.
Yeah, it's my sister called me. Yeah, I think it might help the likes of those players if they came in. So it wouldn't do any harm, but it's going to be a physical battle, and it's the physical nature of the Championship. But who have we got? I think we loaned out our better players, and you can't blame the club for doing that, because they're the ones that are good enough. But we're just left with the rest. The key thing is,
look, if we can be within, I'll say, 6 points of the top six by the end of Jan, if we can be within 6 points of the top six by the end of Jan, when there's probably about 19 games to go, yeah, and we might need to get not 2 points a game over the last 19. Let's say we need to get 1.75 points a game from the last, what's that, 19 times 1.75, 33 points from the last 19 games. So we would need to be on 42 points by the time we get to the end of Jan. Now I think
you're getting the top six with 70 points this season. I think it's going to be such an unusual season.
I don't, Mark. I think it'd be more, because we haven't got any runaway winners. So I think it'll condense. I think you'll need 74.
75. Call it 75, right?
Yeah.
So last 19 game, 1.75 points a game from the last 19. That's 33 points. So we've got to be on 42 points, right, to get add that together to get 75. 42 points after 20, how many games would that be? 27 games, right? So we've got 8 games to get 12 points. So that's 1.5 points a game, right? That's win, lose, win, lose, isn't it? Is that right? Yeah, win, lose, 1.5 points a game. And that's the sort of form we're in at the moment, unless it really goes.
Yeah, just going back to
and utter ratchet. All right, but there we go. Okay, guys, couple of things.
Dave, just on the kind of youth players. If I've just pulled up a list of the players we got on loan, and this is by age order. So we got Marley Watkins at 30. Okay, we've got Hakiba Delican and Casey Palmer at 24. We've got Johnny Smith and Robbie Cundy at 23. We've got Cam Pring at 22. We've got George Nurse and James Morton at 21. Mm. And then we come down to kind of three guys who've not really been involved before. Mm. We've got Awura Edwards, Opie's younger brother, probably.
He's the one up at Grimsby, isn't he?
Yeah, possibly, right? Possibly more talented. Psycho Janne at Newport, who's 20. And then we've got Brad Webb at Newport, who's 19. But I think what we're seeing here is that it's probably the Cundys, the Smiths, the Pring and the Nurses, and maybe Morton, who perhaps should be the players being in the squad instead of Towler, Bell, Zach Smith, and the other one I'm missing at the moment.
Good point.
James Morton played against Exeter, didn't he, in the cup, I think?
I don't know. He's not been in the side much at Grimsby of late.
I think he came on against
Exeter.
Anyway,
I digress a bit.
Happy. I started this by saying, let's talk about a Millwall game that actually was a half-decent game to watch. And I said, those that were listening just before we went live, you go back to February the 26th, 1974, when I was coming up to my 3 weeks off of my 18th birthday. It finished at Ashton Gate, Bristol City 5, Millwall 2. Keith Fear got a hat-trick, and it was played at, I think, 1:30 or 2 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon, because that was when the three-day week was on, and we had in our team back then Ray Cashley and the shapings of what was going to be the promotion team coming together there. Cashley, Sweeney, Drysdale, Gow, Collier, Merrick, Tainton, Ritchie, Fear, Gillies, Hunt, and Dave Rogers. And in the Millwall team that day, they had such luminaries as King, I think it was Barry King, the goalkeeper. Kitchener was there. Another one, Gordon Bolland. But the one who used to play for us in the 60s, Mark and Dave, if you can think, who was one of our top scorers in the 64-65 promotion season?
I was born in the 70s.
That's the clue.
Clark Atio were brilliant, weren't they, in 64, 65?
64, 65. But Brian Clark, who went off to Cardiff, and then he popped up playing for Millwall that day. We didn't mention Lee Johnson on Saturday. I'm going to mention him again because he's obviously, he can't win at home. That's two home games for Sunderland without winning. And his old nice human, Bailey Wright, got him out of jail today. They were trailing 1-0 at home to AFC Wimbledon, who got humped by Rovers, I think, at the weekend, if that was right. And fair play to Cots. Yes, it's League One, but he seems as though he's got Shrewsbury turned around. He won at Hull at the weekend, and he's followed that up with another win tonight. So well done, Cots. You know,
From home at Hull, at the top of the league. It's fantastic.
Cots picked up Shrewsbury in the same state that we were, which, funny enough, was 6 years ago, about now. And what a lot has happened over those 6 years. Guys, we're not going to do a live pod on Friday. I think we said that. We're going to do a live pod on Saturday lunchtime at midday. And then we're going to miss the Brentford. We're going to miss the Wickham and Luton games. But we're going to do a live pod on the morning of the 30th of December. And then we'll pick up as per normal after that. But you know, it's the, we can't learn anything. Well, the only thing we learned from tonight, that I learned from tonight, is that, as I say, Andy Wyman's career in the media does not beckon for him. Danny Murphy doesn't need to worry about his position on Match of the Day. Any final words from you and Dave? You and Mark, Dave's...
Go on, Mark, you go first.
You go first, Mark. Any final words?
Inspiration. Yeah, I don't think it's the end of the world.
Tonight.
City just...
Could we draw just, anything just from tonight?
No, not at all. Just get it out of the system. Get on the training ground tomorrow and pick a team that can be competitive against Preston. And I think we could still get a result. Still, a draw is possible. Anything's possible. Don't give it up. And the fans, don't give up on Dean.
Yeah. And your views, Dave, on that, just to finish?
I give them a day's rest tomorrow.
Yeah.
And come back in on Thursday, do a bit of shape and a bit of system stuff, and just travel up there to Preston on Friday and say...
Well, they'll probably be going up play. Thursday night.
On Thursday. Thought, yeah, I hope so.
No, I don't know. I wonder if they won't travel up on the day. Anyway, if they go up on Thursday, hence, then they're not going to get much time to do much work on Thursday. But yeah, I think you just need to just go out there and play with some confidence.
Okay. Great. Guys, it's been a pleasure. Thanks to all those that have listened. I think we've had one of our record live studio audiences tonight. So thanks to all of you.
Yeah, good input on the text as well.
Have come in. Yeah, so it's been a good one. And we're heading towards 10,000 downloads. Maybe with a bit of head of steam, we might get it by the turn of the year. But thanks to everybody that contributes to the unsponsored, unfettered Forever Bristol City podcast, now available on Spotify and also Apple Podcast. Guys, thanks for contributing.
Thanks. People, stay safe, thanks you too.
All the best. Cheers.
Yeah, cheers all.
Bye.
Bye-bye.